This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Progressive presents an interview with your upstairs neighbor.
My name's Barry. I live right above you. I don't host parties. I host after parties. They're like parties, only louder and nobody goes home. You can see right here I ripped out all the carpeting because it was holding me back with my pogo stick. Man's got a pogo. Oh, I'm a prankster. I'll grease up a soda can, and then when somebody grabs it, boom!
Progressive can't save you from your upstairs neighbor, but we can save you money when you bundle renters and auto insurance with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hey Mama, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have with me Sneha Bhatia, an entrepreneur and mom to a hypertonia warrior. And she will be talking about trying to find out about her son's diagnosis, parenting during the pandemic, and a lot more. Let's begin. Hi, Sneha. Welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm so grateful to have you here.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sneha. I have honestly followed you since, I think, when you were still living in Dubai. So I have actually, I'm really impressed by what you have done with your, bakery. And then you moved to Canada and had your baby there. And I was just following your journey on Instagram and I realized I want to have you on the show to talk something because I was reading through your post and I realized that it took you a while to figure out, it took you a while to confirm your son's diagnosis. So I just want to hear from you, what is hypertonia and what was your journey like on your road to figure out a diagnosis?
So see, the one thing that I want to tell people is that the medical system here is very different. I mean, I just know the medical system in Dubai and in India.
Right.
So the medical system is very different over here because you don't really have any paid, clinics where you can just walk in and pay, of course, until and unless you're getting some kind of therapy or whatever. But like if you want to visit a general family doctor to get yourself checked or anything of that sort, then there are no paid clinics in, I think that is in the whole of Canada, but I'm in Ontario. So that's how it is here. And I was in Vancouver before this and that's how it was there as well. Trying to get just an appointment with a doctor and, you know, the wait can be from, of course you can walk into clinics as well, but like, if you want to talk about a proper diagnosis, then the wait can be from anywhere from 1 week to 2 weeks. And then getting, once they do all their kind of questionings and tests and, finally get me a referral to go see a specialist, that can take like months. And right. Then the waiting time to go see a specialist can take anywhere from, 3 months to 6 months.
Okay.
So it's pretty crazy here because I think they have a huge backlog plus, they are short on medical staff here.
Right.
So for me to get a diagnosis was pretty, like, it took me a really long time. It took me almost, I would say, a year and a half, because there were too many doctor visits by the time I would get, you know, an appointment with one specialist, and then they would say I have to go see another specialist. So I, you know, the waiting times were like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. So I actually didn't even get his diagnosis in Canada when I'd gone back to Dubai on one of my trips to meet my parents. I had shown, so, you know, so I was like, there's nothing happening in Canada. I want to like kind of confirm what is wrong with him so I can help him. Right. So I got to see a few therapists and a few doctors in Dubai, and they immediately told me that, you know, this is what is wrong with him, and it can be corrected with therapy or, you know, whatever, like the course of treatments that they gave me. So like in Dubai, it was very clear shot. Like I was not thrown around from place to place. The doctor saw him once and she gave me a diagnosis immediately. Though she said that she would prefer to get an MRI done for him. Yeah. But I was there for a very short trip at that time, so I couldn't get it done there. But his MRI over here was supposed to be last April, but then COVID hit and now we're still waiting for the MRI date.
Oh, wow.
So I had got that MRI appointment like after 8 months. And when that MRI appointment finally came, then the pandemic started. And now, again, it has been pushed back and we still don't have a final date.
Oh, okay.
So so it's very, it's very, 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 you know, they have too much of a backlog. It's very, I'm not going to say it's laid back here, but I would just say that the system is too clogged with too many patients. So if people think, you know, it's going to be fast in Canada and stuff like that, that's not the case. In fact, I think I would have, you know, been on my way to recovery probably if I was in India. I mean, he would have been on his way to recovery if he was in India or Dubai. But yeah, now he's going through therapy and it's taken us a long time to get there.
Right.
So thankfully it's going well now.
Right. What is hypotonia? Would you mind just breaking it down for us?
So hypotonia is basically low muscle tone. Okay. It can be of various kinds. Rayan thankfully has mild hypotonia, which is, so we've got muscle tone and we've got muscle strength. And I mean, this is, I'm not a doctor.
From your experience.
Yeah, I'm not an expert in this field. So this is just what I have been told. And, you know, I stopped researching on Google a very long time back because it would drive me crazy. So this is just what I've been told. And from the basic research that I've done is that hypotonia is basically low muscle tone.
Right.
The posture of our body gets affected.
Okay.
And Rayan has something also called valgus feet. So where his ankles tend to go inwards when he's standing. So because of these, there was a delay in him, you know, pulling up to stand or being able to walk. Basically, there was a delay in a lot of his movements. Even sitting up was delayed. So I think kids generally sit up around 5 or 6 months and Rayan sat up only around 8.5 months.
Okay.
And he had a youth slouch in his back. And that's when I knew that something was wrong and this is not normal.
Right.
So I started intervening and, you know, getting the doctors, like started questioning the doctors as to what they have to get him checked.
Right.
So that is what hypotonia is. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that, Sneha. What has parenting during the pandemic been like for you?
It's for me, it's very different than for any other normal parent. I think like a lot of regular parents have been, you know, going through their online schooling and stuff like that. For me, it's been very different. It's been a bit scary though, because I have to go out every day, take him for therapy, take him to a school every day. So obviously it's been a bit scary that he's been surrounded by people and we are on the subway and, you know, there are people there. And we have to use the public transport every day. So it's been a bit scary. I think the fact that my son needs this has kind of helped me stay positive and right. push through. We obviously take all our precautions and just push through. So thankfully, I mean, it's been okay so far. I think the parents who are at home, who are going through online schooling, have been going through more stress than someone like me. But yeah, again, like we are on the road. I'm on the road almost 8 hours every day. So because then I take him to therapy and then I drop him to daycare and, you know, and then I have to sit there because my house is very far from the daycare.
Right.
So yeah, it's been fearful, but I think if I've just been kind of not thinking about it and keeping a positive mindset.
Right. And Rayan is breaking milestones every day. Like he's breaking barriers every day. I saw a video of him where he can climb the stairs now. So that's amazing. Congratulations to you as well. I want to know, what are Thank some you. Of the struggles you face in your day-to-day life?
So I would say the biggest struggle that I face is being able to cook at home. I think because I'm out so much and I'm, you know, I mean, it's snowing here and that does not make it any easier.
Right.
So because I'm out so much and like I'm too exhausted by the time I get home. And so cooking is the main issue that I have to face because I'm vegetarian. My husband is non-vegetarian. And of course, you know, I try to give Rayan whatever we eat. But again, I like my food in a certain style and then he might not eat that. So then right. some days I have to cook separately for him. So when the pandemic started, I think that was one of our biggest challenges because like our routine was completely haywire and Rayan's school was and therapies were off for quite a long time.
Yeah.
So being, you know, getting him to do the exercises at home and like I had to become his therapist at home.
Right.
So working with him at home and then, you know, being able to cook and like so many different meals for everybody, it was a real challenge. So now we just try and pick, at least for my husband and I, we try and pick food for us over the weekends. And I try and cook over the week. And,
right.
You know, I cook at one time for like 2 days though, so that we can, so that I don't have to cook every day.
Right.
But yeah, I think cooking has been the main challenge. And of course, the exhaustion is like, if moms are exhausted, then think about like at least 10 times more than that. Like I'm exhausted to that level every day.
My God, my heart is like going out to you and I want to just give you a big hug, you know?
Thank you.
But Sneha, I mean, kudos for you to managing all of this alone. Honestly, I don't even know, you know, being in a country away from your family, I don't even know how the mental exhaustion it takes on you, right? Like, I remember when the lockdown happened, my daughter was only like 14 months old. And my parents live in the same city, but I was figuring it out how to do it all by myself, you know, and being in another country altogether, especially you said like it's snowing there. So, you know, the weather, you know, I can't even imagine how you do it on a daily basis. I want to know from you, what kind of a support system do you surround Rayan with?
So unfortunately, we don't really have any support system here because
right.
we don't have any family. We have some friends, but they live pretty far away. Like everything here is pretty far away.
Right.
So, you know, so we actually don't have any support system here. So the first time I found out about his condition, it was obviously it took a huge mental toll on me. And but I knew that. I mean, it is only me, plus my husband was going to work. So he could not contribute as much. Like, you know, we had like back-to-back appointments almost every day. So he could not leave work every day and come for the appointments because then obviously like they're not going to, they'll probably give him some leeway, but they're not going to give him leeway every day, you know, for 1.5 years. So he had to go to work and then obviously it was just me and it, usually I'm used to doing everything by myself. Like I'm very independent that way. But still, when, you know, when your child is involved, you kind of need your spouse to be besides you. And then just not having that and not having any family here, it definitely took a huge mental toll on me. But I think there was this one day when I asked the doctor, his developmental pediatrician, that just tell me if my son is going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life or not. Because if that is the case, then I'm just going to cry it out, you know, for 1 week, 1 month, how much ever time it takes me. But I'm going to buck up and then, you know, try to understand how to, what kind of a life to create for him if he's going to be in that wheelchair.
Right.
So at that time, then the doctor had said that, no, that's not going to be the case. He's definitely going to have trouble where he'll probably not be able to play sports in school.
Right.
Or, you know, probably run as fast as the other kids. But he will be able to do, like, you will just have to keep pushing him to do a lot of physical activities. And the as long as his strength, you know, keeps building every day, where he becomes, like, his tone becomes stronger every day, that should not be a problem. So then after, I think after that conversation with that doctor, with that pediatrician, yeah, I was like, okay, you know what, like, whatever it is, I have to face it. I have to, and in fact, I have to face it most 90% of the time alone by myself, because my husband is not going to be around. So let's just, like, let's just buck up and let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that was the time I really shook myself up. And I was like, because if I'm not going to be strong, obviously my child will not be able to get through this.
Absolutely.
And I know the pandemic has been very hard for a lot of people, and I'm really sorry. And my heart really goes out to everyone it's been so hard for. But somehow, in a way, it was kind of a blessing for me, because now my husband was home since the pandemic. And, you know, my husband also got to work with him. And that, yes, kind of gave me a little bit of a breather, that if I'm not doing the exercise, then I could concentrate on the cooking, while my husband was kind of, you know, doing the exercises with him. So the pandemic has actually really helped us. I think if the pandemic was not there, I would still be struggling to kind of get Rayan through therapy. But I think because my husband's been home, it's been a huge blessing for us, that he's been able to work with him as well. So
that's amazing. So, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
So that's the only support we have. We only have each other right now. That's the only support we have.
Yeah, but you have a great online family from what I have seen. So you have the emotional support you need, you know, you don't.
Yes. So that's. Yes, definitely. Like, yeah, my Instagram is my safe space where I can just, I think, you know, go and express whatever I'm feeling when it comes to Rayan. And the support that I have received is immense. Like, I have never received that much support in all these years of being a content creator. That's as beautiful. Much as I've received, yeah, since Rihanna's been there. So it's been amazing.
I honestly think kids do that to you, because I feel the same with Alaya, and I really feel that kids do that to you. Like, they bring out your vulnerable side. And I also, yeah, feel they touch a chord with the audience, you know, because everyone relates to what one, every mom relates to what the other one's going through, you know.
Definitely.
No matter what the situation, how old the baby, nothing.
Yeah, definitely.
And Sneha, what is your biggest dream for Rayan?
So I think, you know, when your child is born, every parent has dreams. Like, though I've never been the type to, like, that my son should be this or that, but my main thing was that he should be kind, he should be happy, but healthy was never something that I had really considered, because I had assumed that he is going to be healthy, you know.
Right.
Because that's what, when everything is fine, and when all your when the doctor is telling you that the baby is fine, everything is fine, and, you know, for the after your child is born, for the first 6 months of his life, everything is going on track and he's reaching all his milestones, so you just assume that, you know, he's healthy, he's going to be healthy, and nothing is ever going to happen to him. But that's the thing, you never know what can hit you. And I think, like, there's a friend of mine who always used to kind of pray for her child that he should have good education, he should have wealth, and, you know, he should be happy. But no, hardly people pray for health, especially right. for children who are young.
Right.
So I would say that no matter, I mean, of course, I really hope and pray that everyone who's listening to this, your child is happy, healthy, and they do amazing things in life. But the first thing I think you should really pray for is health, good health. If the health is there, the wealth is going to come and everything else is going to come. So just pray for your children to be healthy. You know, try and inculcate habits that are healthy. And that does not only come with food. I'm not only talking about food. Like, Rayan has a share of sweets and he loves sweets. He's got a sweet tooth. So it's not only, you know, healthy habits when it comes to food is not only about sweets. According to me, everything should be in a balance.
Right.
But I think healthy habits is when you kind of introduce your child to lots and lots of different things from a young age itself. Like, I see a lot of Indian parents just sticking to khichdi and, you know, thinking ke are khichdi mein matlab sab vegetables hain, to, you know, ho gaya uska nutrition.
Right.
But don't do that. Like, of course, khichdi has your entire nutrition because you kind of put in all your vegetables in there so your child can eat it. But then your child is not getting, used to different textures or used to different kinds of foods. So
right.
it's okay if he's only had carrots today, or it's okay if he's only had zucchini today. But, you know, try and just introduce them to a lot and lot of different foods from a young age. So
right.
I think that is a healthy habit that you can create. Get them to meditate, get them to chant, get them to, you know, these are things, honestly, I sound like this advisor, but these are things I never used to believe in.
Right.
But I think after his diagnosis, now I really see the power of us chanting every day. And Rayan never used to understand all this chanting and this meditation and, you know, previously. But now, since he's turned 3, he hates shampooing his hair. So when he's in that bath, when he's scared that, oh, my mom is going to like shampoo my hair now, the chant automatically comes out from his mouth.
Wow.
Because he's heard me chanting it, you know, since his diagnosis started.
Right.
So I would say these are the healthy habits. Inculcate these in your children. And you know, my biggest dream for him would be to be healthy, to be able to do whatever he wants to do in life and, you know, in a healthy manner, and be kind and be happy.
Yeah.
Like, these are the biggest, I don't care, like, kitna educated hai, kya hai.
Yeah.
As long as he's happy, as long as he's healthy, everything else will come to him.
Amazing, amazing, Sneha. Last question I want to ask you. There
sure.
are many moms who are in your shoes, you know, who are in a similar place like you, where they're alone, you know, they don't have anyone to turn to, no family around. Especially pandemic has put a dampener on everyone's travel plans as well. You know, they can't visit the family. Are there any support groups they can reach out to, especially if their kids are undergoing physical therapies, or if they are kind of, you know, they have conditions, underlying conditions, anything?
So I honestly feel like over here in Canada, definitely there are lots and lots of support groups, and people here are not afraid to kind of, reach out to other parents who are going through something similar and to voice out what their child's diagnosis is.
Right.
But when it comes to places like, you know, Asia, like India, or even, let's say, Pakistan, like I have a lot of followers from Pakistan, and India, Pakistan, or Bangladesh and stuff like that, a lot of parents still hold back because they don't want people to know that their child has a diagnosis,
right.
you know? So because of this, I think they're afraid to reach out to support groups. So I would suggest that Facebook has amazing support groups. Even if the support group is somewhere in the US or somewhere in Canada or somewhere in Dubai or wherever it is in the world, I think now even Indian moms are like really opening up. Not opening up, they have opened up. So, so I'm sure there are a lot of support groups in India as well. There are a lot of influencers who are highlighting their kids' disabilities. So please reach out to people. Don't feel like, you know, if someone comes to know this about my child, their opinion is going to change. If someone thinks that, then I'm sorry to say, you should just say tata, bye-bye. And be the first advocate for your child. You need to advocate for your child and be their biggest cheerleader. And if you don't reach out for support, then your child is never going to get that support. So Facebook has amazing communities. Like, for example, my friend's child has Down syndrome. So all she did was just, you know, put in Facebook Down syndrome support group or something like that, autism support group. And you'll find lots and lots of groups out there.
Right.
So even regular mom groups, like, you know, even if you're a part of something like that, and if you put out a question there, you never know which mom might be going through something similar.
Right.
And they might guide you to, you know, a support group that they are a part of. So don't be scared to put this out there.
Right. Thank you so much, Neha. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. And thank you so much for sharing all of that.
No worries at all, Sanchi. Thank you so much for having me. It was so lovely talking to you.
That was such a heartwarming chat. Sneha shares regular updates on motherhood and hypotonia on her Instagram. You can follow her at Happily Sneha. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.